The first reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, and which with you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Hear the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath he was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Speech in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, you will notice we have a PowerPoint today. That's because for the next month, it does sound a little bit daunting, doesn't it? But we're going to go through spiritual warfare teaching. We're going to have a little look at Ephesians 6, 10 to 20 and the armour of God. Because you know what happens in an Anglican church quite often? We just read 10 to 20 and we talk about it that day and we move on. But this is something that tells us what God is and who God is and how to live in a world where we do actually have an enemy. So we're going to spend some time with it and make sure we're working with this so that we understand, learn, and grow together. Now, speaking of power, I need some candlelight. Let me just do a little bit of this. I decided I wouldn't do a big candle because, let's face it, more opportunity to make a mess and burn something down when it comes to me. So I have my little candle over here. Everybody see my candle? Very nice candle. I'm going to put it over here. See, I'm busy making a cake. This is a mug cake. And I've been in the middle of making it for a little while because all of the ingredients, or some of the ingredients, are already in here because they're a little hard to do before now. So here's my mug, and you can see in here we've got a bit of egg and milk and stuff. And now I've got some dry ingredients I'm going to add to it. And as we're making, you know, our lives are a bit like cake because there's all sorts of ingredients in our lives. And some of them are a bit wet and some of them are a little bit sticky. Some of them are rather sweet, like the white chocolate chips in here. But when we put them all together, it makes a life, and our lives are often quite good. They can be very tasty. They can also taste absolutely awful occasionally because life is like that. And not everything in life goes the way we want it to, do we? And, of course, occasionally we get stirred up because we have to be stirred up. And we get stirred up and stuff goes wrong or goes right, depending on how you're looking at it, because sometimes that which goes wrong ends up being that which went right. Ever done that one? Look back and go, okay, so that wrong actually ended up being a right. That's because God brings all things together for good for those who are his. However, it also means sometimes there are good people in our lives, and as you can see, I'm a grot. So I'm just going to put this down here. I've got a bit of plastic. It's okay. I'm not mucking up the place. So I've got to cook this, don't I? All right, so let's cook it, shall we? I think we might be waiting. I think we have other things to do. What are we going to do? Something wrong with putting it over a candle, isn't there? Woo! Especially if you blow it out. It's not going to work. It's not enough power. I can cook. If I held this here for long enough, I'd have a very sore arm, and in my own strength, I could stand over the flame. And eventually the bottom might cook a bit, but the rest might be a little gooey, and I might give up and just eat it raw because I've done that with cake batter before. Have you done that with cake batter before? Don't lie. However, this is actually a mug cake, and the thing is, if I want to cook this, I need the right power. If I put it in the microwave for 55 seconds, I will have a cake. This is where we're at. This is what Ephesians 6, 10 to 20 is about. The right power. The true power. The true authority. What happened to the man with the withered hand when he stretched it out? Nothing. Jesus didn't say a word. He just said, stretch out your hand. And when he did that in faith, the true power of God healed that man. But the Pharisees, who thought they had the power, were candle people. And they got upset when the true power was seen, and they went out to plot to kill him. But you see, Jesus didn't just have a candle. Jesus is the microwave. So if anybody wants to cook that for me, I'd love to eat it afterwards. I'll put this up here. We have here enough mugs, eggs, and other such paraphernalia for our young people to make each one another a mug cake. All are welcome. You're welcome to make a mug cake with them if you would like. Because, after all, there is no fun if I get up here with a mug cake and they get to watch me but don't get to eat one, hey? The rest of you, I'm sorry, I haven't got enough mugs, but the recipe is there if you want it. Go and you can go home and make one because it takes literally a minute and a half by the time you've put it all together. All right, thinking about the context. We know the story of the gospel, don't we? We're Christians. We're here because we're Christians. We're here because we're seeking Jesus at least. And in that we know our Lord and Savior, as Paul taught the Ephesians, is the one who was born, who lived our life, who died our death from the cross, said, "It is finished," was raised to life, and that is the proof that it is finished, ascended to the Father, and that is the place where he now intercedes for us, and there he could send the Holy Spirit that we might also have microwave power. The Ephesians were people who lived in a place where they were surrounded by things which were not God, although people called them God. When the gospel first came to Ephesus, the Ephesians were people who were worshipping all of the local gods, and many of them were into witchcraft. They were into a lot of the occult, and as things happened amongst them, they were seeking power, and people were seeking power, and it feels like there's power in some of those things, doesn't it? And sometimes, indeed, we experience power in some of those things. And people were looking for that power. And so they were living in this way. And so they were living as Christians. But Paul called them to account. And what did they do? They went out and they burned all those books. Every last bit that had anything to do with anything other than Jesus Christ, they took it out, they built a bonfire, and they burned it. Because the Ephesians, and this is in Acts, by the way, you can read about it, the Ephesians understood suddenly that there is absolutely no contrast. You cannot say that good and evil are the same. It doesn't work that way. There is Jesus and there is everything else. It's not yin and yang. It doesn't work that way. The world is in balance, but it's not completely in balance. But we take that from the idea of creation. But God is God who created the entire universe. And he is stronger than anything. And his power is the microwave power. What we get is the candle. Verse 10 tells us, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power." So how do we walk in the strength of his power? This is what the armor of God leads us to. Walk in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, wait, there is more. There is more. It's not just about Jesus, but actually our enemy is still around. He's down, but he's not out. That says Clyde never suspected the local pigeons would have tasers, if you're wondering. Yeah, he's down, but he's not out. Okay. Defeated at the cross, absolutely. Satan is bound, but he still has agents. And there is forces of evil in this world. Jesus spoke about it. Paul spoke about it. All of the apostles came across it. It's there. Now, don't be afraid. Remember what we've just seen in the slide before. Jesus wins, okay? He is greater. He's the microwave power. He is the best and the greatest, the true power which created this world. We have to work through this and we still have to deal with our enemy. Well, who is that? Who is our enemy? Thank you. No. Yes, no, maybe. Have I got the right one? Yeah, that is the right one. Sorry, don't mind me. The first rule of warfare, if you happen to be a soldier, is know your enemy. You have to know who you're fighting. You have to know what's going on, don't you? Because there's absolutely no point in boxing at shadows when if the shadows aren't the actual enemy. We need to know who we're dealing with. And this one says put, read it off here, it's easier. Back, thank you. This one says, put the treats in the bowl and nobody gets hurt. There is real truth in what Jesus has said. If Jesus is the true Lord, then what he says is true. And he names this enemy more than once, doesn't he? Verse 12 tells us, For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So this is a spiritual enemy we're talking about. Jesus, the Bible calls him Satan, the accuser, the devil, and his demons. And he is both powerful. Yes, he does have power. He's wicked and he's cunning. He's powerful. Let's look at that. Jesus gives him the title. In John 14:30, the ruler of the world, ruler of this world. Now, there are different words for the world in the Bible. This is the world here, the created world, the world we are on, the earth. This is the word that is used here. And Jesus is talking about the one who has rule on the earth. He talks at that time, he's talking about to his disciples, he is talking to them just before the cross. And in that time, he also prays for him, for them, and he prays for protection against who? The evil one. Now, he's not naming a human being here. He's not asking for protection against Pontius Pilate. He's not asking protection for them against Roman soldiers. He's not asking for protection for them against the Pharisees who had been after him from the beginning, as we read today. He's asking for protection against the evil one, for those who follow him. And those words go along with the others to tell us that he's talking about the spiritual power of evil. And what character does this power have? Well, the story of our enemy, the story of Satan, is that he tried to stand up against God because he wanted God's throne for himself. And he recruited some of the angels that were there with him. He was an angel, not God. And he was thrown out of heaven and he took his angels with him and he came to earth. So he hates anything that is God's. So he hates creation and he hates us because we are God's creation, right? And God loves us. Have you ever seen somebody who is cruel, and you might not have seen this, but I've seen it because I've been in that situation, someone who wants to hurt a person will hurt the thing they love most. Okay? This is why he comes against us. Why he comes against people in general, not just the church, but us. Because humanity, all of humanity is loved by God. Okay? Everyone. Not just the ones who are following him. All. He hates. Absolutely hates humanity. Especially those who follow Jesus, because they're walking away from him. He hates the truth. He hates light. He hates honesty and integrity. Now, how do we know that? Well, how do you behave when you do not want to behave well? You hide, don't you? When you don't want somebody to find out the truth, you lie. When you are doing the wrong thing, you find a way to turn it around. Sometimes you can sort of point it to somebody else and say, oh, well, actually, that it's their fault. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. Bart Simpson, isn't it? Nobody saw me. I didn't do it. Nobody saw me. No, there's no witnesses. Therefore, you can't prove anything. There's this whole thing of hiding. It belongs with this characteristic. And the influence he has is in the spiritual realm, okay? So this is not necessarily seen in that sense. He's wicked. What does wicked stand out as? How we use power is what shows the nature of the one using it. If you think about it, that's very straightforward, isn't it? Often we don't know how someone will deal with power until we give them power. Sometimes we don't see it in their character until we give them something to do where they have the rule over others, and then we see that that person is actually prepared to choose to do things the wrong way. The enemy is wicked from the very beginning, and his power was always used against God once he had been thrown out. Once he raised up against God and got thrown out, it's all about using his power the wrong way. But people under that influence will also do that. The Pharisees were like that. They had power, but sometimes because they were lied to, they thought they were going to lose their power. You know, if Jesus rose up and he sat on the throne of David and he took over Jerusalem and they were in charge, he might put them out of charge, mightn't he? They might lose their spot. The wonderful lie the enemy likes to tell people, in their heart they're afraid that they will lose the power they have, and so they give in to something else. The enemy is hell-bent on destruction. He's not interested in taking any prisoners. He actually wants everything that belongs to God obliterated. This is very clear when we read the Bible. I'm not going to go into all of it, but you can read it there. And we see the way that he works through other people. No moral principles. We can tell that the people who are playing for that side, we see that. Read about Adolf Hitler for a while. No moral principle. There are plenty throughout history, but also sometimes not people who we know, not people who are up in the spotlight. Sometimes it only takes a little bit of power. I know I can do it, and I have power over one person. And in that place, some people will lose their moral principle because they're giving in to that. No code of honor. There's no honor among thieves. No higher feeling. If you have compassion, you're not going to hurt people. The enemy has no compassion. And we see that in those who are following this in wickedness. John 10:10 tells us he is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And is cunning. Deception is his favorite thing. Jesus called him the father of lies. Loves to deceive us. Loves to be sneaky. And there are some wonderful sneaky lies the enemy likes to take. My favorite is a midwife was nobody gets pregnant the first time. To suck us into following through on our physical feelings instead of waiting. And so we follow through. And what happens? Oh, yeah, tell that to them in the delivery suite. These things are often very subtle. I've talked about Hitler. He's not very subtle at all. But there are other things that are very, very subtle. Okay, I'm in trouble. So if I tell a little lie, just a little lie, it'll get me out of trouble. If you simply pretend to be someone else for a little while, maybe people won't realize who you are, and then you can get away with it. Little ways. Often it's so subtle we don't even notice it. Sometimes he actually even makes us think that he's being nice. Deception always usually looks good until we look properly. Sharks look a lot friendlier when they don't have sharp teeth, don't they? Aren't they grinning at you? They look so friendly, don't they? They're not going to eat you. Of course, there isn't a shark in the world with a full set of falsies. Looks great until you look properly. Join this scheme, you'll make lots of money. Read these cards with me. I'll tell you what will happen next. I had a friend who, at the time, he wasn't a Christian. He worked in Tasmania in a little newspaper in Tasmania. And he was just one of the boys in the office. He was quite young at this stage. And the person who did the horoscopes left. And the boss said to him, you need to do the horoscopes. And he said, I don't know how to do the horoscopes. And he said, well, neither did the person before him. Have a look in that file. All you have to do is pull out the one for that day. You've got 365 days worth and just put it in the paper. People actually base their lives on this stuff. He suddenly realized how deceptive that was and how little those things meant. Really hard, really hard. He wasn't a Christian at the time, but it started him looking for the truth, and that was really good. Now, I'm not saying that people don't honestly and really believe that and that they don't really believe that that works, but he often tells you the truth before he then sucks you into the lies, and that's often how it works. So what do we do about this? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. True power, true authority, doesn't need to lie, cheat, or steal. The true power, the true authority is truth. The truth of God. My own strength is not going to be enough. I'm a candle. I can't hold it for that long. I'm going to, and I can. We push through. We work really hard, don't we, at being good. I'm very good at being good. You know, when I was a kid, I was always being a good girl. I was one of those kids who kept the rules. My sister was one of those kids who went straight through them. She usually dragged me with her. And I'd be working so hard at being good, and then I'd end up following my sister because that looked like more fun. We can do it in our own strength, but what it will do is weigh us down and have us in a place where it's so hard to keep going because we're trying to be good. That's not what Jesus died for. He died and gave us forgiveness through the blood of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit so that we would have his strength, his forgiveness to wash us clean, his place in the Father's kingdom. He gave us his strength because he knows human life is hard work. He lived it for 33 years. He knows. Even did homework. Did everything. Absolutely everything. He lived in a place where everybody had to struggle under these things. And he lived alongside people, and for 30 of those 33 years, he simply lived with his mother and his family, living it out together. His earthly father, Joseph, died much earlier, took on the man of the house role, did all of those things. He knows what it is to live this life. And he died so that we didn't have to live it in our own strength, because he didn't live it in his as well. He was fully divine. He had the strength of the Lord to draw on. He did it perfectly because he had that strength. We cannot do it on our own, and he knew that. Jesus has external strength, eternal strength. I have human strength. I can push through with him. I can stand firm. But I can't keep it up forever. I need eternal strength. Verse 13. Who is my enemy? I need the eyes of the Lord to see properly, and his wisdom and love. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God so you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and have done everything to stand firm. You need his power and his sight. So it's not in any person or group of people. I have another click there. The first one is my dad wearing antlers upside down on Christmas Day, looking about as demonic as he could possibly ever look, because he ain't a demonic sort of person. The second one was our camp group at the church that I first put this picture in there for, which made them all sort of go, Ooh. And then the other one is just a group of people in worship. And sometimes we think that that people are going to be the ones that are a problem. And people do behave like enemies sometimes, don't they? And even within churches, they do. The whole point is that that's not how it works. So if they're not who I fight, what about nasty people? I can hear you thinking it. What about the nasty ones? Should I fight them? Well, actually, no. Thanks. Next click, please, Graham. And again. Thank you. Jesus made all of them. That was the point before, but it's a point we have to keep coming back to. To keep coming back to who we are, that we're loved by God. He made us in love. Every human being is made in love. It doesn't matter where they come from, who they are, what race, color, or creed they are. They are loved by God, made in love. They may not know Jesus yet, but he doesn't want any of them to be seen as an enemy. Even the nasty ones. If Adolf Hitler had repented and given his life to the Lord and truly repented with all his life and lived for the Lord Jesus in that repentance, he would have gone to heaven. He would have gone to the Lord. If the worst murderer in the world repents and turns to Jesus, he can be saved. If the worst rapist, thief, any of those things, turns to Jesus, they can be saved. And you and I can be saved. We're not necessarily the worst. We all know that we have stuff in our lives, and this is the whole point. Everyone has the potential because he made them that way. He loves them as they are. So they are not to be treated as the enemy, even if they're acting like one. So what happens when I fight people? The response we use to evil, that response that we choose opens the door. Now, that response will either open the door to harm or will open the door to good. If I choose to open the door to harm, I will hold on to the anger and I'll hold on to the resentment and I'll hold on to the hate. And I won't forgive and I'll refuse to let that person go. And I'll hold on to it and I'll let it sit here. And I will open a door. And that's not a door for them. It's a door for me, because then I actually am cooperating with the wrong side. But if I choose to walk the way Jesus wants me to walk, and I choose to be a person who wears the armor of God, which is our protection against choosing poorly and helps us to keep going, but also protects us against the things that the enemy says in the first place, then I am choosing what God wants me to choose. And the door that I open is God's door in my life to greater love, forgiveness, and power in him. Now, I want to point out at this point, because I think it's really important, because sometimes we sit there and we think, you know, we're talking about demons here and it's very scary. Look, there's not a devil behind every bush, guys. There isn't. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Mustn't be afraid. Okay. They do exist. And the influence of the enemy we see in the world all the time. Most people are not demonized in that sense. They're just not. But we all hear the voice that says, do the wrong thing, you'll get there faster. We all know that it lives out there and we hear it. We all know that there are particular ways in which it comes into our lives. We do have to stand up to those who are obviously working in evil. It's how we do it that matters. What does Jesus say? Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's not easy to love someone who's hurting you. But you can, in the strength of the one who has the microwave power. The person who hurts you is not your enemy, Satan is. His power is what that person is walking in. And it is against his power that we pray. We pray against his power in their life and we pray for the person. We forgive them. Even if we can't be safe around them, we can forgive them. We are remembering always that that person is also made in the image of God and is a human being. We need to pray for them. But we pray against that which is perhaps poking them and say, Lord, will you shut their ears to that word that's being spoken to them? Will you help them to see the truth? We pray for them in that way. We speak against the things that are holding them that we can see happening. We discern that by asking God about it because he knows what's really going on, because sometimes we ourselves are deceived and that person's just trying to help us and we're pushing them away because we've got a hurt that we're working in. Can happen, right? Important to remember safe practice in this sort of thing too. If that person is not safe, you don't have to go near them. Even after you've forgiven them, sometimes we get told we need to go and tell that person we've forgiven them. Yes, that can be a good thing. Absolutely, because it can absolutely change our relationship, but sometimes that person's not safe to go near. You don't need to go near them to tell them you've forgiven them. You could send them a note if you feel you need to, but you don't have to always go near them because that can be unsafe. And Jesus isn't interested in you getting in the firing line. He's interested in you becoming the whole person that he made you to be. We need to stand firm and we need to refuse to play the blame, the hate, and the revenge game. And be God's person. And we need God's strength to do that because the human in me really wants to lash out when someone hurts me. But in God's strength, I can pray for them, I can forgive them, I can move on. I might have a bit of a yell in the back corner first, though. It's okay. It's a process. God's way is love in power, in his power. And this is the last point. Romans 8. Know the passage, and I'm going to read it for you, and we are going to hear these words again so that we hear them in this light. What then are we to say about these things, says Paul? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? That's us, by the way. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. That means he prays for us in heaven to the Lord, speaks to the Father on our behalf, is there rooting for us, as it were. Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword separate us? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the truth. That is the power. There is the truth. See the enemy for who he is. Recognize that sometimes people are not bad in any way. They are just working with the wrong side at that moment. See people for the hurt ones for who they are and pray for them and forgive them and love them. Let God be your strength because he's already won. Read the end of the book, folks. If you read the end of the book, Revelation 21, 22, it'll tell you. He's already won. Jesus said at the cross, it is finished. It is finished. And we conquer in that power. This is the first in the series. We're going to go on to other things next week. But as you can see, we're going to go into this depth. We'd be here all day. So we are going to stand and we are going to sing about our awesome God.